The world is changing at breathtaking speeds, with trends and fads popping up and passing away at breakneck pace. Against that backdrop of nearly constant upheaval, we welcome you to the Sunday Scotch Society. Over delectable, sumptuous scotches and with the occasional good cigar in hand, we have open, honest, and uninhibited conversation about whatever strikes our fancy. Whether it's the critical issue of the day or a deep dive down the rabbit hole, we take it all seriously while having a good time. Join us for a stiff drink and a great conversation. Matthew Gladstone Kelly. I believe. What? That's a problem.
See. No, I mean, knowing you, right, it could be just straight up whatever, or it could be some weird reference to that fire.
No, it was just whatever. No weird references. So, in the grand scheme of things, Matthew, how the heck are you?
It is pretty good, but... You know, especially as you get older, the finitude of life becomes apparent. And, I'm not good with death. Let's put it that way. And, some people important to me.
It's a difficult...
Yeah. So yeah, I mean,
you know what has happened in my family recently. I'm not certain if your response or your reaction is to the same situation.
But, it is, but in addition to that, some other stuff.
In
total, but definitely on your family side, the tears have not, they're not stopped yet. So,
And in the interest of, you know, leaving the family's business private and in its place, I won't say anything except to say that it is true. That as we are getting older, we are entering that time where, you know, we are starting to have to deal with mortality, and it is easy as a young person, especially a young man, to face the world with a sense of invincibility and to feel as though nothing can bring you low and nothing can cause you permanent damage, and that even should you be brought low or hurt in any way, you will recover because you are resilient and you are powerful. And then the slow accretion of years and experience provides, I believe, an object lesson that we all have to take note of, that there is but one way through this life. You are born, you live, and you die. And that is the common lot to all men. And at times like these, when we are, you know, wrestling with that inevitability, sometimes I feel it is difficult to just accept that this is reality and that this is how things are. You can't really change reality, but it is sometimes a little comforting to rail against it, even when you know that in the end, you just have to accept that this is the truth. But to you, Matthew, and to members of my family who are in pain, I pray comfort, peace, joy, and understanding in these incredibly difficult times. With all my heart, my brother.
And same to you, man.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's a little heavy for the Sunday Scotch Society, but, you know, the Scotch can take that.
Speaking of which, what do you have there?
I am calling an audible because for Christmas, my brother-in-law bought me a pack of the Bahamas Botanicals JAB flavored alcoholic beverages. And today I was going to do the Sapodilla VS rum. So they have a dilly infused rum that is, well, I haven't really opened it yet. So I was going to crack it open and let that be my sip for today's journey. But I happened to look at my counter and I see that the Nika Red is kind of winking at me. So I believe that I will switch from my intention to do the jab, the JAB Sapodilla VS rum. And I'm going to have the Nika Red.
All right.
So that's what I'm drinking.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. In a moment of sacrilege, I will say to you, pour a double. Because in front of me is no such thing. I arrived back on Freedom Island to find out that someone was rather free with my stash, which I have not yet been able to replenish. So today, in the semi-grand tradition of some guests being teetotalers, I have no beverage in front of me.
You have the what in front of you?
I have no beverage in front of me. And so I must live vicariously, as the listener does, through you, sir. So pour a double.
I'm sorry. You said you have something called no beverage. I've never heard of that brand. What is that?
Well, don't be a brand snob. Okay? Just, you know, I'm experimenting. Think of it like that.
With something called no beverage.
Yes, okay. Let's go with that.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm very curious about what this no beverage tastes like. You'll have to...
As am I.
You'll have to give me some very strong... very strong words of description to overcome, because there's a, I don't know, there's a block in my, I don't understand.
No,
there's a
problem.
Block in my understanding.
Happens from time to time. Mm-hmm. Pour in a double will help you through it. And I will endeavor to give you the most descriptive version of my experience so that I can bring you along.
Okay. Well, I have poured said double. I don't know if you remember much about the Nika Pure Malt Red, but
no, I don't.
Okay,
that's not ringing a bell at all.
Okay, all right, good. Well, and I think that that gives us some interesting things to discuss.
This bottle looks familiar, but it's still not ringing.
I kind of feel like there's a reason for that.
Notes. Are you sure we had it?
We did.
Okay.
So the reason that I remember that we had this is because I brought it with something else that we were going to do as like an alternative. Mm-hmm. And the something else won out. So we never actually got to try this on the show, which means that I'm going to have to hold the rest of this bottle for you. All right. So the first thing that I get on the nose is smoke.
Mm.
Like, that's literally the first thing. It's just smoke. The second thing is alcohol. And this feels like a cask strength bourbon. That's how it smells, and that's what it feels like on the nose. And the thing about these whiskeys is that they are really as much about the story as they are about the beverage itself, right? So Nika is not that old as far as whiskeys go. I mean, distilleries go. Masataka Taketsuru went to Scotland to learn the secrets of Scotch whiskey production. He came from a family of sake brewers, and he wanted to bring the art of making genuine whiskey to Japan. He spent 2 years studying at University of Glasgow and at Hazelburn Distillery, where he, you know, noted all the various intricacies of the Scottish distilling process. When he fell in love with a local girl, and they got married and returned to Japan, and that's when he joined a company that would later go on to become one of the big names and the first name in Japanese whiskey, Suntory. You've heard of Suntory?
I mean,
Suntori. Yeah. So they made Japan's very first whiskey. And he was one of the distillers that helped to sort of propel that company into the powerhouse, I suppose. I hate that word, but you know that it became. So in 1934, Taketsuru decided he was going to go out on his own. The name of his company that he formed in 1934 was Great Japanese Juice Company. It's hilarious, but the shortened English translation is Nika Whiskey. That's where the name comes from. So the Pure Malt Red is a blend of malt whiskeys, as most Japanese whiskeys are blends. The Nika Whiskey range of colored pure malts, it's like the Johnny Walker Red, the Johnny Walker Green, the Johnny Walker Blue, the Johnny Walker Gold. Different recipes to give the different blends, you know, distinct characteristics. There's a reason that the green is so popular among people who drink Highland Scotches. There's a reason the gold is popular among people who like blended whiskeys. There's a reason people who drink smoky scotches like the black. You know what I'm saying? So in the same way, the Nika has a range of three whiskeys, which include names like Black, White, and Red, and all. This one is the red, and The only sort of information I could find on it is that it has a unique blend of whiskeys from the two Nika distilleries, which one in Yoichi and one in Miyagiko. And that's really it. So we're not going to be influenced by, you know, tasting notes. And I specifically stayed away from tasting notes that had like descriptors when I was preparing these notes. So I'm coming into this fairly clean, and I'm excited about it. So, and I also want to stay away from other people's impressions, because I like it when we are trying these things and you get an opportunity to give me your particular take on it. So because it is such an alcohol forward product, I am, as you can hear, I am having mine on the rocks today. And I do not really wish to hear anything from anyone. One is supposed to drink whiskey however one enjoys it. And that is how I'm going to enjoy mine today. I heard you making some vocalizations. What do you have words to say, sir?
I was simply a little bit surprised. That's all. I encourage everyone to drink their whiskey as they well please.
Okay. Do you have much experience with Johnny Walker?
No. The occasional contact point, but not enough to have much of an opinion. Or catalog, okay, so the reason that I notes.
The reason that I ask is because my first impression on my first sip is that this is very similar to Johnny Walker. It's most like the Johnny Black because it's very smoky. But it also has that sweetness that Japanese whiskeys are sort of blended to emphasize. So Japanese whiskeys, they're all blended whiskeys. They don't do single malts. Well, they don't do many single malts, let's put it that way. And the vast majority of their blends tend towards a degree of sweetness to a lesser or greater extent. And so what I got from my first sip of the Nika Red, the Nika Pure Malt Red, was that really intense smokiness. And that is actually still lingering from that first sip. But as it lingers on my tongue, there's a sweetness that develops as well. And I suppose that because I'm having it on the rocks, the alcohol that I was expecting based on how strongly represented the alcohol was on the nose is really tamed quite a bit by just having it on the rocks. And that's one of the reasons I enjoy whiskey on the rocks occasionally, especially robust or cask strength things.
I've often wondered, like, when I do have on the rocks and there's that slight dilution, which obviously doesn't mix immediately, the coldness, I feel, can mute for me a bit of the sensation of alcohol. But also, I don't know, I find, like, maybe it's just a contrast thing, that slight dilution and the gradient from the main drink in towards the ice can actually kind of highlight the alcohol note sometimes. Do you ever get that sensation?
I do. I personally find that I like to take a cask strength or very overproof scotch with, a block of ice or a sphere of ice or whatever the, the matter of yes, of yeah, sometimes. But I also find that on occasion, like if I'm using using it with a cigar, then I won't use the ice because I enjoy the interplay of, you know, that overproof sort of extra robust alcohol with the tobacco and all of the different flavors in the cigar and how they play with the different flavors in the whiskey. So the whole idea, and this is something that I am seeing that people are finally sort of coming to an appreciation for, is that however you drink the whiskey so that it tastes good to you is how you should drink the whiskey, right? There is a sort of performative element where you have people who, oh, I don't drink my scotch or my whiskey on the rocks, or I drink my bourbon neat, or I would. And if you like it neat, if you like it on the rocks, if you like it with a twist, however you like it, that's fine. And that's how you're supposed to have it. There is no supposed to, with the exception of, in my view, in moderation. But because this is a product that can be a signifier for a certain kind of lifestyle, you know, you see people doing doing the most, and it's not necessary. You know what I mean?
I would certainly categorize it in that rather large category of conspicuous consumption.
For sure. For sure.
Well, I want to do something here.
Okay.
Which you sort of preemptively precluded, but I want to push back a little bit here, because by the time I get to taste this, these words are not really going to have an effect on me, but I want to read off of the Whiskey Exchange just a couple little things to highlight.
Okay.
Exactly what you were saying is you should drink it the way you want to drink it, and also the subjectiveness of this entire very, very tasty hobby. The first thing you got on the nose was smoke. Under style on the Whiskey Exchange, you have body richness, smoke, sweetness. Body, it gets a 3 out of, I think this scale is 5. Richness, it gets a 2. Sweetness, it gets a 3. Smoke, you want to hazard a guess?
I would say a 1.
They have rated it at 0. So I just thought
that's, yeah.
I just thought that was a little bit funny, you know,
and of course, of course.
a chance to underline for the listener, if you think you have to do it a particular way, or if you're not tasting the notes that someone else is tasting, that you're doing it wrong. That's really not the case. Everyone's palate is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
There are variations in all sorts of things, including the environment that you are drinking in, your state of mind, what the air temperature and humidity is like, what are the aromas in the area. You know, there's a lot of variance.
And I would like to say, you know, the Whiskey Exchange is, have you ever been, by the way?
No. But you have hyped it up.
And
I think
listen,
it deserves the hype.
Listen to me, brother. The Whiskey Exchange is off of the Strand in London, around the corner from the Savoy Hotel, and I thought 3 stories of magnificence as far as I'm concerned. But it is in the UK, where they have a strong tradition of smoky whiskies. You know, the peat is is natural with with UK whiskey drinkers. So I'm not surprised.
That's not a knife.
Exactly. That's my view. That's my view, right?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that a UK publication would not consider this smoky at all. But, you know, I think you make a good point. What you get on the nose is what you get on the nose. What you get on the palate is what you get on the palate. So, yeah, I think that's a solid observation, sir. But for all that, the Nika Pure Malt Red, like I say, it reminds me a little of Johnny Black with an extra note of sweetness and some depth that I think the Johnny Black misses. But I think I'll wait for your view, your sip, to tell me what you think.
Yeah, well, I look forward in anticipation.
So now I still, this is, I don't mind when we have guests who are not partaking. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But I cannot, there's just something so uncomfortable about you not tippling along with me, Matthew. I don't know. I feel a way.
You know, all I can do is extend my apologies. Circumstances of life sometimes, you know,
fall this way.
And I could have lied to the listener. I could have said, hey, you know, what is it to fake it? I'm just not that person.
And we who are Matthew fans, we agree, we support the authenticity journey that you are on. We absolutely do. I'm just saying, man, it would have been nice if you had something to drink with me.
I agree with you, man. And I will endeavor not to be in this situation again.
So listen to me. Do you remember, this is a random question. Do you remember Wicked Wings?
No.
Nat Adams had I think Nat's son was doing Wicked Wings. And they were, for a moment, they had Nassau in a chokehold. People would drive, the guy would, his wings were for sale out of the house in Eastwood. And I remember driving from BPL on Blue Hill Road to Eastwood to get my Wicked Wings regularly.
Wow.
For some reason, it just crossed my mind just now. I you know, God bless my hope all as well. But it crossed my mind, like I say, and I wondered if you had any history of that.
No, I don't. Is this still active? Wicked Wings with a Z242?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, okay. Well, great to know that's still going on. I am not angry at some of these photos, I can tell you that.
Ooh. Yeah, it's a thing.
Things that I cannot have as I attempt to get healthy. What is... okay, I'm going to stop looking healthy at this, sir.
Healthy? Listen, chicken wings are healthy food. I don't understand your issue.
No. Yeah, dry wings are healthy. But gloriously smothered wings, maybe not so much. And mashed potatoes look pretty good. Nothing that I can have at the moment.
Okay, if you say so. I just say it. I feel like you are overthinking it.
I don't think so.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So, Matthew, what's on your mind? What's on your mind this week, my friend?
Man, all sorts, but I'm going to begin. by asking you if you saw the launch. Uh-oh.
Of course I did not see the launch. Why? Why would I see the launch?
Oh, sir. Sir.
You
know what?
Before
I deserve
you, before
it.
You,
I deserve it. I
you
showed up.
Because
I don't have a tipple. So the fact that you can sit there and not just say that you didn't see it, but you, of course I did not see it. I deserve that. I deserve that. Still mad at you though.
Why?
Sir.
Listen, you know my feelings about Mr. Musk. You know my feelings about Mr. Musk. And my feelings about Mr. Musk extend to all of his enterprises and everything associated with him.
Well, that is unfortunate. I'm not going to comment on Mr. Musk. What I will say is
I kind of feel like, no. Mm-hmm.
The culmination of the ingenuity of hundreds and hundreds of people and the natural beauty of the world for those launches to happen at sunset under the right circumstances are just things to behold, regardless of if the devil himself lit the fuse. It was a glorious launch, sir. And the first one that I got to witness in any capacity, and for it to put on such a show that I was able to see here in Eleuthero, amazing.
So what was glorious about it?
You know the dilution of language that plagues us, right? I don't mind that language evolves, but when you water down a word that has no proper replacement, so, and I'm guilty of it, the word awesome in its original meaning and context, I can't sit here and describe to you blow by blow what was great about it. It's an experience of awe to see a thing that you know the dimension. Listen, it's one thing if you just see it go up and blah, 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 right? If you understand what is happening a little bit, to see something that you know is going hundreds, that is hundreds of feet, that is accelerating past the speed of sound, past the thickest parts of the atmosphere, taking a turn to accelerate to 27,000 kilometers an hour, detaches the front bit, the way that the atmosphere is interacting with the rocket, you're getting plumes of water vapor coming off, and the sunlight is hitting it just right so that it looks like a glorious, gentle jellyfish wafting its way into the nighttime. And then the speck of the stage one booster coming down like a shooting star, and then all of a sudden erupting into a dragon flame. Dude, you listen, you cannot do it justice. It is something that you have to experience and embody. If you don't get it, that's fine. But when I tell you that it is awesome, I mean that.
I believe you. And I believe that it was awesome. Again, purely as a matter of science, technology, coolness, astrophysics, rocketry, et cetera, et cetera. I am certain that it was amazing. I really and truly am. And maybe I will go back and watch some video of it. But this is one of those things for me. I don't know. I have not yet decided. It's like Bill Cosby and his comedy. It's like R. Kelly and his music. Am I able to separate the art from the artist when the artist is a severely flawed individual.
Where's your cutoff point for?
I don't know that I have. I don't know that I have. This is why I say it's. I'm. Can I finish my sentence, please?
Sometimes, in this Thank case, you. Yes.
I appreciate you. It is something that.
Oh
I
my
am,
God! You hit me with the you.
I'm sorry.
You hit me with the I appreciate you.
I did. But I do appreciate you. I'm not saying that as a.
Okay, fair enough.
I appreciate Matthew. I don't appreciate it. I appreciate you. Anyway, what
only
I'm
because
saying
it's you,
is,
I'll accept that.
Fine, whatever. I appreciate it, Matthew. The point I'm trying desperately to make, is that, yes, it is entirely arbitrary who I choose to disassociate myself from because I find that they are problematic as a person, but their art or their creation is somehow extraordinary. Half of the musical greats fit into this category, I'm certain. We just don't, you know, not everybody knows. But in the case of Mr. Musk and SpaceX and Tesla and the one that put the chip in people's heads that we were talking about at the first show of last year, I just can't do it, man. Because he is empowered by the idea of his brilliance. And even if his brilliance and his genius is only in being able to surround himself with brilliance and genius and empower that brilliance and genius to produce amazing things, all of that still feeds into his power base. And he still is Elon Musk, with his two-year-old son in the White House standing over the President of the United States, taking over the country. So as awesome as the SpaceX thing is, I just can't bring myself to pay attention. I don't want to give anything about him my eyeballs. I don't want to give it my energy at all. For that reason, I am reluctant to be on X, despite the fact that X is essential for the press and for public awareness in this region. Even as people in the rest of the world are trying to get off of X, our news media and our journalism community in the Caribbean and the Bahamas, we still on X big time. Everybody still have to have their Twitter account. And I hate that. But there it is. I apologize for the rant, but you know, you there it is.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, finish telling me about how awesome this thing was.
No, I finished, man. I tell you, you had to be there.
And having been there, what do you feel? Okay, oh dear, do I dare ask this? I'm going to. Okay. What's next? What is next is the wrong question. What does this mean for? That's also the wrong question. What, if anything, does this mean for the Bahamas to have simply provided a safe place for this rocket to land? The booster, sorry.
Well, I mean, I certainly think that the tourism benefits are overblown by the government because, you know, that's what they do. I think someone in a letter to the editor, I forget if it was the Tribune or the Guardian, pointed out that is it Highbourne Key? The sold out rooms is I think 50 rooms. I mean, that's not nothing. And there will be some tourism around this. There's some tourism around insects, believe that or not, but it's not necessarily going to have a huge impact. What the objective measure is, I have no idea. I think it could inspire some kids. There's also someone ranting in the paper that what if it does? What if the donation from SpaceX to UB even pays for that person to become an engineer? What does it matter? There's no industry for them to come back to here. Yada, yada. So what? They wanted to become whatever. They set off into the world, and I would like engineers to come back here. I would like musicians and artists to come back. But if they don't, that's their life. A Bahamian had a good life. Don't complain too much. And then I saw, you know what? I saw much more pushback than I thought was warranted, because they don't understand. I want to be careful the way I phrase this here, because there are some people that I love and respect who are holding this position, but they jump to the dangers of this happening here without solid argument behind it. You know, they didn't look at what the actual chances are, and if something does happen, what happens, you know, what the worst case scenario would be around that, et cetera, et cetera. So I was a little bit disappointed with that. It's not that these things are impossible, but let me put it like this. This is not Chinese space industry where they launch a rocket over a bunch of villages expecting it to come down. If you're in the way, well, too bad for you, bro. And also, we're using these highly, highly toxic and poisonous propellants that will really mess people up, even if they don't get hit by debris. You know, completely different type of situation. Other than that, we're helping, and it is a corporation and they're doing it for profit, but the benefits to humanity, I think, are worth it. We're helping the Starlink network expand and provide coverage to people in remote places like Eleuthera. And that money is going to eventually help humanity have a bit of a backup in space. And I hear a lot of people criticize the whole idea of, be it the moon or Mars or orbiting facilities, that money should be spent to fix things here on Earth. I don't disagree that we should fix stuff here on Earth. I simply do agree that we should take some money and put it on the side and forward the purpose of getting off this rock as a species, so that, one, if something does happen to Earth, we still persist. But two, the amount of things that have come from endeavors such as space exploration that then work their way into the rest of the economy and helping out people. The side benefits of that sort of technical it's not even a side benefit. It's just the secondary benefit of technological progress is immense. So an appropriate amount should be spent. It's not as if half the budget of let's say the U.S. defense, which, you know, we know how huge that is. It's not anywhere near anything like that. So I'm a huge advocate. I'm a futurist who's excited about humans being in space on a persistent basis. I think that a lot of young people may be inspired by this. On the flip side, because of what you're saying, right, some people's views on the guy at the head of the company are that this is the evil incarnate. And, you know, those views could pass on to children and they think that this is the worst thing in the world. So, you know, who's to say? But my take is this is a positive thing. I'm happy to partake it in it in some small sense in the Bahamas. I don't think that is much of a danger. And it is hella exciting to me personally. So come at me.
I have no cause for.
Oh, that was to the general listenership.
At you?
Come at me.
I'm sorry.
I wasn't saying to you specifically to come at me. I'm just saying.
Oh,
know,
okay.
If you have a problem, well, you know, we could talk about it.
Come at me, bro. Come at me, bro.
I did not say bro.
So
you are mischaracterizing me.
I don't know if I was mischaracterizing you per se, but okay. And my point is that I do not necessarily feel like I need to come at you. If there are others who wish to do so, that is entirely their bag of chips, and that ain't got ish to do with me. Because I said my piece, you responded as you felt was appropriate. And so I think we have arrived at a balanced position. You will continue to pay attention to homeboy. And
no, no.
I will not.
No, oh no. No, 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 no. I don't pay attention to any of that. I don't pay attention to the people who hate him. I don't pay attention to him. I don't pay attention to people around him. I don't pay attention to the people in Congress or the Senate. I get some news every now and again. But all of this BS, I don't. No. 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 My headspace is too important. I got things I gotta do.
You kind of already said what you had to say, and now you're trying to take it back, but it's okay.
I'll take what back?
No problem, brother.
That's completely consistent with what I said before.
Okay. Well, I must have misunderstood you then. Because it sounded like you were saying that this stuff is awesome and that everybody should pay attention to it.
Yeah, this stuff. You said you could continue to follow Mister. And I was like, no, no, no. Let's draw a distinction here. I don't follow people.
But see, okay, I hear you. And I have one small problem with that. Because things do not do themselves. Things right. Do not just spontaneously come into being.
Listen to me. When you get up, when you hear some of the great 80s tunes, which would include songs by Michael Jackson. Or you hear some great comedy, which happens to be by a very not so good person, like Bill Cosby. I'm sure that you groove to Michael Jackson. And I'm pretty sure that you're going to laugh at the jokes that are Bill Cosby. And I am 100% sure that you're not an evil person because you do either of those things.
I mean, I don't know, bro. I might be evil. You never know.
No, but that would be separate from you enjoying the fruit of something, whether the person who created that fruit is good or bad. Which I'm also...
I did say, and I was... Go ahead.
Yeah, which I'm also not weighing in on.
Yeah, okay. So I hear you. I only want to say that my point is that I am not unaware of the amazing accomplishment that this SpaceX launch was, and the fact that the Bahamas played a role at all in how the launch went down is great. If it brings us anything beyond a very sort of brief stint at center stage where our sole advantage, the sole benefit to us existing is that we happen to have been placed in this place on the globe, and that is where the boosters were going to fall. So yeah, great. And I have no issue with any of that. But I just want us to value the right things. And if you feel confident that that is what we are doing, I support you, man. I just, you know, my own personal issues are exactly that. They are my own and they are personal.
All values are personal in the end. So,
you know what I did though? I made this Nika Pure Malt Red into a highball. Because I don't know if you know, but the sort of the Japanese whiskey scene, they are highball crazy, and so I was like, you know what? Let me just make a highball out of this and see. And let me tell you, my brother, this whiskey is killing it in this highball. So you know what a highball is?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So one part whiskey, two parts soda water in a glass full of ice. That's your basic highball recipe. And this
so you're not a ginger ale man?
Ginger ale is not, I mean, that's not like a quote unquote authentic highball. The authentic highball recipe is it just calls for soda water. With ginger ale, it's great. But that's not how I did it. So I'm just saying, it's a little, the sweetness is there. I still say the smoke is there. With the soda water, there's a bit of spice and almost like a floral note, you know, like lavender or hibiscus or something like that. But not medicinal at all. I quite like it in a highball. It's really nice. I look forward to seeing you again in person, Matthew. I don't know when that will be, but hopefully everything is chill in pineapple country in the next little while, you know, with God's grace and focused effort. Thank you for our conversation today, my friend.
Thank you, man. I look forward to tasting Mr. Red there.
Now that I know it's good highballs, I sure you will. I might have to buy a new bottle for you. We have to see.
Well, one way or the next, I'll taste it. At some point.
All right, my brother. God bless.
All right, man. Ciao.
I believe I was supposed to say the thing, right? It's Das Darovia.
Ciao.
Check it out.